Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. All right, in the first half, we get into censorship. We got a couple of calls, and we have the news as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the holidays are right around the corner. Before you know it, turkeys will be stuffed, and that fat guy with a white beard will be breaking into your homes in the middle of the night. Don't wait until the last minute to treat yourself or the people you love in life to marvelous Christmas presents like the Carolla Christmas Card Combo. This three-bottle gift set comes with a jolly Christmas card featuring and signed by each and every person that makes this the greatest podcart in the universe. So head to CorollaDrinks.com today. Get your Carolla Christmas Card Combo for only $60. That's three bottles of your choice, plus a Christmas card signed by the entire staff for only $60. Happy holidays from everyone at Carolla Drinks. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jay Cutler, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he doesn't list his pronouns in his email signature. Not because he's transphobic, he just doesn't know how to work his email. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Don't care.
All right.
Yeah, Jay Cutler's going to join us for the second half. So we'll do a little one-on-one with him. Interesting guy, branching out. So we'll get into that, find out what's going on with Sage Steele and all that business as well.
Sorry, is that a reason? Is that why the Jay Cutlery is on the table over here?
Gina.
Oh, did not see that.
Some knives
please
on the
table. Please.
Yeah, I don't know who. Somebody left the knife on the table probably because someone was using the knife and then done with the knife.
Yeah.
This is my new world order when people are done with stuff.
Right.
They're done. All right. So I always talk about stuff you couldn't do and then stuff you can do. And if you've been around long enough, you've seen it all. And for me, started off, I'm just an atheist from the valley, just a humble atheist from the valley. And so, like,
trying to make your way in the world.
Yeah. And I would show up to do radio, and there'd be these long-winded explanations on why you can't. You can say boobs, and you can say boobies, but sure, you can't say tits, but you can say titties.
Oh.
But, and you can, well, you couldn't say titties, but you could say titty bar.
Oh, right.
That was the gateway to us being able to. And I was always like, well, you can say jugs and hooters and bazoombas and Winnebagos and everything else. I'm looking at you, Gina.
No, thank you.
But what tits is innocuous, and it has something to do with a teat.
Right.
You know, it's got a basis and some reality. What's so wrong? And it was like, man, we can't because George Carlin did a bit on it.
I'm glad you brought that up because it was reverse engineered from the Seven Deadly Words, the comedy bit, and it became like sacrosanct in TV and radio. And it's like,
well, maybe comedians have a larger impact than we'd
I
anticipated,
guess so,
Dave Chappelle.
Talk about unimaginative.
Seriously. Okay, motherfucker. Okay, but piss?
Yeah,
how did piss sneak in
why
there?
Why is piss worse than bitch?
Well, piss. Well, first off, we literally made national broadcast protocol.
Yes.
Based on a bit that a stoner comedian did in the 70s.
And based on the hippy dippy weatherman.
No one thought to take it and run and like improve it or refine it. Like, why? In what world is piss more offensive than asshole?
Yeah.
Right. And so at the beginning, you could say a-hole. Maybe it morphed into asshole at some point. You could say pissed off, mm-hmm. but you couldn't say I'm, and you then you went from, you could say pissed off, you can say I'm taking a piss, and then later it went to, you could say you're taking a piss, but you couldn't say you were pissing on your girlfriend's shin in the shower.
You could be pissed off, not pissed on.
There's a lot of stuff, and it never really made any sense to me. And then there was a lot of, you've got to be local, you can't have one guy out of the studio. Bean, of Kevin and Bean, moved to Seattle area, Washington, and sort of blew that whole thing up 20 years ago. But there was always something involving gambling. Now, Jimmy would do the sports picks, and he'd say at the time, you know, the unbeaten Rams at 9-0 were playing the 0-9 Dolphins. I picked the Rams, you know, but he couldn't mention the part where they're giving away 14.5 points or something like that, which would factor in quite heavily. So there was no spreads and there was no talk of gambling. It was just
couldn't do it.
And so you turn on ESPN and they have Mike Ditka and all the old coaches and they go, I like the Patriots this weekend against the Browns in 03. And it was like, yeah, no shit. Patriots at home against the Browns. Now, if we start factoring in 17 points, then, you know, maybe that makes it more challenging.
Right.
But it was just no talk of betting and no talk of spreads. We can talk about games and who we think's going to win the games. And, you know, wink, wink, you can bet on them, but we can't say anything about Vegas or odds or betting or anything. And then all of a sudden I'm watching MLB and I'm watching the playoffs and they're running commercials for FanDuel.
Oh, it's game on.
Yeah, and they're talking about, you know, the Dodgers are up by 2 runs, which means you can get in now in the fourth inning.
You think they'll come back.
Right.
Plus 800 or whatever.
All right. So it never existed and now it exists.
What happened?
What happened?
The switch flipped.
I know, but it was me the whole time and other people going, I don't get it. It's insidious. It's wrong. It's bad. Fine. But now it's not. And the same with Bad Beats, which is a good bit on SportsCenter. Van Pelt. Right. Where he's talking about, it's literally a 15-minute segment about games that if you bet the over, you thought you were safe. Oh, you got beat at the end or vice versa or spreads or totals or whatever that is. So just in case and just for the next time someone tells you, well, the reason we can't do this is because we can't do this.
Right.
Keep in mind, if it doesn't make sense to you, then in a couple of years, it'll just be on. It'll be another one of those weird societal hurdles we threw in front of ourselves for no reason based on you can't do it. Yes.
Marijuana is another. Or cannabis is another example of this. Like, it's an Emperor's New Clothes kind of analogy where it's like, oh, we're all just going along with the charade because that's just the way it's done. And as soon as the switch flips and it's like, oh, we can do it the other way. Oh, let's do it. It's a floodgate opening.
Totally true. And obviously, if people can make money off it, eventually it's going to go their way, such as gambling, cannabis, what have you.
And this weird puritanical thing, or the gambling is bad, but cannabis, who's hurting?
It's a sin.
Well, it's also, gambling is probably not something you would hope that your son or daughter made a career in, but it exists. People are doing it anyway, much like the pot. So be it. The people who are going to gamble are already gambling, and the people that are already toking are already toking. On a slightly different note, Mike Lynch went to the oil and lube or tire place today, and he sent me this picture that he took of the offerings.
The coffee pot offerings.
The coffee pot.
Seems imbalanced.
They're all pods now.
Yep.
And the pods, I think he wrote a note with it, Chris, but I think he tallied up 8 decafs and 1 hazelnut and 0 regular coffees. Mm. Now, I've always assumed this, and I've been yelling about this for a million years, it's my sort of, how many veggie pizzas do we need if only 2 people out of the 50 of the crew at the party or whatever the event is are vegetarian or vegan? But This is what we do. We have to have this sort of equal offering. And maybe it's this constant equality thing. I don't know if it just flowed into coffee pods, but we do not. Okay, first things first. Nobody needs decaf. People partake in decaf, but no one needs it because there's nothing in it.
Right.
It's like saying, oh my God, I need a drink. Give me an O'Doul's. You don't need it. It doesn't have alcohol. Nobody needs a non-alcoholic beverage. You may enjoy a non-alcoholic beverage, but no one needs it.
You don't need a powdered sugar cigarette.
If you're looking to avoid caffeine or alcohol, the world is your oyster. There are literally no end.
May I suggest a warm mug of tap water? Or anything.
Number of options.
Right. Sunny D. Yeah. So the point is nobody needs it. So number one, nobody needs it. So you're under no real stress to provide it if no one needs it. Now, people who go into the tire rotation place at 6:45 in the morning, they may need some caffeine in their life. But the people have spoken because everyone gobbled up all the caffeinated stuff and the non-flavored stuff. And then I would also say, if you like flavored coffee, you don't really like coffee.
Coffee's a flavor.
You like hazelnut.
Yes.
That is, or French vanilla. Yes. Those are the flavors you enjoy. But you're not really a coffee person. And so I'm going to go ahead and lump you in with the decafers, which is you're not serious about this.
Cherry cola.
Right.
Cola itself is a flavor.
My feeling is let's go ahead and just get our ratios worked out. Mm-hmm. If everyone is snatching up all the caffeinated regular coffee, then have two offerings for the decaf and 28.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. We whacked it. We whacked this thing. We took coffee drinkers and we just split them down the middle. We went, all right, there's 100 coffee drinkers in this room. 50 of you enjoy decaf. It's like, no,
not even
that's
remotely.
Not. I don't even know. If you got 100 coffee drinkers in any given space, you may not find one that's in the decaf, but the over-under would be 3.5.
The only time I've ever seen anyone ask for decaf is after a very, very late dinner. I've never seen anyone else drink decaf before.
Yeah, like when you're at the Lube and Tune place and it's 4 a.m. and you're trying to bring it down,
you want something to ride home. For the table.
Yes. So nobody needs this. The people have spoken. You go to the hotels. It's one decaf, one regular. Knock it off. Get your ratios down, people.
Is this another example of you're not allowed to judge? I think we could judge. We could profile who's going to be at the Jiffy Lube.
It's a kind of a thing maybe that gets into a bigger subject, which is a death of math versus what we really have. Like we go back to Dave Chappelle and transgendered community. It's like, all right, the transgender. We got to protect the transgender community. Who are we really talking about? How many people are we talking about? And I would argue the transgender community is even lower than the decaf community. I think there's probably less Americans that are transgendered than actually drink decaf.
Probably.
Right. You can do the math on this because I looked it up yesterday. If we have about 1.5 million transgender people in the country out of 330 million, what percentage would that be? I'm no good.
1.5 million?
1.5 million is the stat I saw.
That'd be like 4%. Not 4%.
A little less than that.
Just shy of half a percent. If in fact the 1.4 is even that high. We don't know if how completely accurate that is. Well, maybe there's more, but I would say the 1.4 million out of the 330 million. Well, maybe it's 0.5, 0.4. Seven? I don't know.
And the 0.4 is, I would guess, because 1% would be 3 million. Cut that in half or 1.5 million.
Right, but then we're at 1.4, so now we got to bump it up. And there's a little, but there's a little more than
300.
So yeah.
I'm sticking with 0.41.
All right. Yeah, I'm right in there, too. The point is there's less trans than decaf, but it's still about the same at the tire changing place. Right. Also, you have to think about the brand of dude who goes into the tire rotation place at 7:15 in the morning. That's probably a caffeine guy.
Yeah.
It's probably someone's going to hit it before work and head in. Anyway, in the name of equity, we've provided everything for everyone, which is fine if there's an unlimited amount of deli subs or Baconator pizzas for the people who want it. But if all that shit just goes, like the coffee goes, and then they're just left with the decaf, then some people are going without.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
Tough talk. tough affair.
Speaking of the Chappelle special, I was thinking about this because we were talking yesterday about it, and the trans community wants a disclaimer, and then Gina said, well, they do the disclaimers in front of the old
Peter Pan
movies and lots of Disney. Well, there's a disclaimer in front of everything that was made before Wednesday of this week. Right. But I thought, you know, and then there's part of you that goes, all right, so they're doing a disclaimer on everything. I would argue that the comedy special, when you announce there is a comedy special, that's the disclaimer.
Maybe jokes involved.
There may be things that talk about people who look like you or whose friends you have or family members you have. If it is, in fact, a comedy special, this is an interesting subject to me because when I was growing up and beyond, a comedy special was the disclaimer.
Right.
This is a comedy. It's not a TED Talk.
Right.
It's not the attorney general's going to address the UN or anything. It's just, it's a comedy special. Thus, blanket covered disclaimer. Comedy special. Right. Eddie Murphy's going to say crazy shit.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Joan Rivers may insult someone.
I would argue that when you go, oh, fine, we'll put a disclaimer from the comedy special. Now you're kind of saying, well, the comedy special is a possible call to action and people should take it this way or take it that way. The title Comedy Special is the disclaimer to me.
Could have the reverse effect, too. Like, first of all, I hate calling it a disclaimer. It's just, you know, whatever it is, a parental advisory, warning, content advisory, whatever you want to call it. That said, well, I go to see a lot of movies, right? And there's a lot of trailers, sometimes 6-7 trailers for the movie. And it'll say rated R for graphic violence throughout, or, you know, sexual situations or whatever. And I kind of perk up like, oh, no, I'm going to watch this trailer. I'm interested.
Yeah, I like
it. It could be that sort of reverse effect.
I like the one that says period smoking.
Oh, yeah.
My take is what a bitch wants to do on her period her business.
Yeah,
that's a rough time.
2 days a month I want
to cool. That's right. I don't need a heads up. All right. Also, let's see. It is, we got a new Rich Banks song.
Oh.
That I think our own Bald Brian penned the lyrics to.
I wish he had said that afterwards.
Is Gilligan's Island?
I think so.
They're boring and they're lazy. They're sure to drive you crazy. They don't care about racing. It's Adam's family. There's a wife named Lauren, a homeless cat named Norman. His daddy plays the horn. It's Adam's family.
Oh, great. How would I know that? Hell yeah.
They never went to eat out. His sister tried to sneak out. His mom is yelling, freak out. It's Adam's family.
That's great.
Nice.
That's great. Yeah.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yes.
Awesome.
Hey, big credit to Rich Beck, not just for the song. He suggested the drops in the middle because there's that part where they just go, neat, sweet, whatever they say.
Right.
He's like, hey, man, how about some drops? I'm like, that's a fucking great idea. I'll get him to you right away.
Very funny. Yeah, the drops worked and nice.
Yeah, it's Adam's family.
Speaking of the Adam's family, they're getting dangerously close to Star Trek in the, I don't know whose idea this was in the mid-60s and how much peyote you drop, but I've had enough of the Adam's family.
Oh, they're back, dude.
I know.
Loves the cartoons.
The Addams Family films,
I mean.
And I hope you don't feel that way about the Munsters. We'll get into that in the news.
Grandpa Al. Grandpa Al Munster, who, of course, hit me.
Yeah.
He was also just one of the meanest human beings I've ever met in my life.
Why do I love that? Why is that, like, so perfect for him?
How much of that you think comes from the fact that he probably considered himself, he is a man of about 50-ish, probably when the show was on-ish, 48, whatever it was. He probably considered himself a real actor, like probably a stage actor, and then he's known best of this fucking grandpa monster for the rest of his life.
He also had a big role in Car 54, Where Are You?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that predated the monsters.
So do you think he's sort of an Alf dad's Willie situation where he was very angry over just being Willie Tanner or whatever his name was in the show for so long?
Or was he just a mean fuck?
I think it's a Venn diagram.
Well, you know, I liked him. I spent a lot of time at his house and I was fine with like mean dads.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of, in a weird way, it showed a kind of a presence or something. Like he was there. He was pissed.
Right.
You wouldn't hear him if he was living in Nevada somewhere with his new girlfriend. He was there. His wife was named Marge. Mm-hmm. She was a nurse. Frequently had one of the adhesive eye patches on. There seemed to be some sort of ongoing thing going on. It was
like
little,
in a "it's my fault for leaving the mop out" kind of way.
I don't know, but it was always a little off-putting. Mm. He was kind of back. But by the way, it was back when adults could be mean, and you know, no one called him out on it.
Of course not.
He was like,
it's their job.
One of these guys that loved sports, but announced the announcers are horrible, so we'd watch it with the sound down and maybe put the radio on or something.
Yes, that's
angry, a move. Angry at the TV set. Love sports. Love high school sports.
I can't call Victor on this. I don't know, but I will. I did look on Wikipedia, and Al Lewis has had a thriving Broadway career before he got into Car 54. Or Are You?
Then, like, don't take the job.
Well,
what's up with these guys?
It's the same with Agnes Moorhead, who played Endora, the mother-in-law in Bewitched. These people are all big stars in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. And at some point, they're doing an arc on Love Boat,
and that's that.
Yeah, he was. Oh, you got a story in the news about Al?
Well, I have it about the Munsters.
Oh, the Munsters.
So, yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, it was kind of a novelty, and he kind of looked the same out of makeup, so people would recognize him.
I always liked the Munsters better than the Addams Family when we'd watch it in reruns.
Was there a difference?
Technically two different shows.
I know, but was there a quality difference?
Maybe it was just on more. I don't know. We liked watching the Munsters and Happy Days and all that shit after school.
He drove a Volvo wagon back when nobody owned a Volvo in the San Fernando Valley. Had a lot of stickers on the back windshield, and I can't remember if they were like those camping kind of, though I don't remember him camping.
Weird.
I remember him not choosing to use a spittoon, but just to spit on the hardwood floor.
That's a man.
They lived in kind of Van Nuys, North Hollywood era. And he was kind of semi-retired by then. I guess he was 5 years, 7 years after the Munsters. So he just kind of hung out. Maybe went on some auditions. I don't know if he at some point moved to New York. I think opened a pub or a bar or something. Yeah. I think he sort of started to embrace the Grandpa Al thing. He probably was trying to get away from it for a little while. But all right, we'll dive into that.
It's important.
We got a couple of calls up here. And now, again, I was hit by two parents, not my own, but I was hit by Roberta. And I was hit
by the lost verse.
Al.
Roberta was the arm whack behind the chair, right?
They were both Volvo wagon related blind arm wax behind the chair or behind the driver's seat. The difference was Roberta was a little hippie-ish and a little woke-ish, still, you know, violent, but into the indigenous people and peace and love, and then occasionally violent.
Right.
They didn't want trouble, but she found it in that Volvo.
Right.
The difference in the handling of the situation, because when you whack the kid and it's not your kid, and then at some point that kid's going to return to his home, there's a decent chance that the kid may report that they were whacked by the parent. Now, I didn't communicate much with my parents, and I was always a kind of internalizer. I was like, well, I got hit because I deserve to get hit, so I'm no worse for wear. I don't have a black eye. No one's going to ask me about it. And I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want further discussion about it.
Right.
Why did they do this? Or worse yet, I'm going off to Roberta's house and
no,
I'm going to settle this, or no. I'm going to go, I who wants that mishigash, yeah. right? So I was like, I'm not saying a word, but interestingly enough, Roberta, who, you know, was obviously a violent felon inside of the Volvo, but once she got outside of the Volvo, cooler heads
peace
prevailed.
It
was all peace and love. And she saw fit to tell my mom.
Oh
wow. Self-reporting.
She self-reported. Al said nothing, and that was fine with me, and it was fine with Al. So Al never had that conversation.
And wasn't Roberta's just kind of catch-as-catch-can, whoever's back there, and Al, like, singled you out? Am I remembering
no,
that correctly?
No, they were both targeted. There was targeting. If that was the NFL, that guy would have been suspended for a week. Yeah, there was targeting.
Okay.
Al, I don't even remember. Al was really, wasn't even that much. We're just at a gas station waiting around, maybe talking about Slurpees or something. That was good enough for the whack. Roberta, I was doing my best impersonation of her, which caught her ire.
Wait, so pound for pound, Al Lewis is a monster.
A monster.
Well,
a monster.
he didn't report to be nice.
Yeah.
You knew what you were signing up for when you got into the Volvo.
No false pretenses.
You dare right. shoot the shit about candy while he's getting gas?
I honestly, I'm sure it was something, but it wasn't anything that would have been directed at him because I knew who he was.
Right.
Like, I knew the hand could come sailing back there at any point. It was, by the way, I'm surprised. There was so much backseat smacking in my childhood that it should have been part of the advertisement for the vehicle. You know,
okay.
the extra wide seat.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we don't have those clumsy bench seats where you can't get your arm over the top of the headrest.
Strike your children with ease. And
right. Our competitors have barely 9 inches of daylight for you to get your arm back there and concuss your kid. We have a full 13 inches. Easy whacking.
And Brian, just to compare the two, how many times have you, while you're driving or in the passenger seat, just reach back to like grab your child's hand or pat their leg?
Oh, yeah,
and then,
yeah. Gently, you know, stroke Tessa.
Yeah,
you know,
plenty of room.
Yeah. How you doing, baby?
I would, Chris, we should put this out air, but I would like to know, I cannot be the only child who was smacked by other people's parents.
You are in this studio.
No.
Dawson put his headset on.
Well, my mom smacked other kids.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of the opposite.
I like that.
What did she smack them for?
One time we were at a track meet and one of my friends told his mom to shut up.
Oh.
And my mom
justice.
Wow.
What did the other mom do?
She just kind of stared there like, holy shit, you just hit my kid.
She silently mouthed.
And
nobody said anything. And then my mom was horrified like, oh shit, I just knocked your kid over.
Over.
Wow.
Like, boom.
Knocked him off balance?
Mom yeah. strength.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's frontier justice and then there's front ear justice. I think that's what I was on the losing end of. Wow. So multiple belts with your mom?
And then another time, I was kind of joking.
She went full John Stossel on his ass. Remember when John Stossel got the ear box to the ground?
Yes.
Yeah.
By a wrestler?
Pro wrestler.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And another one I remember is this was in high school. My mom asked me and my friend Steve what we were doing. And I said, we're going to go find some drugs and find some chicks and party. And my mom slaps my face and then looks at my friend Steve and goes, Steve, what are you guys going to do? Just like Mike said, we're going to go get some drugs, find some chicks and party. And boom, his knees buckled. She hit him harder than she hit me.
She bent him over.
That's great.
Steve didn't have the sense to alter the story.
Steve was on drugs.
I mean, to be fair, they were probably telling the truth.
Well, that's true, but that was his cue. I mean, I feel like he had a little window. You know,
window
it's kind of like that move where the cop goes, look, I'm going to let you off with a warning, but if you say anything else, I'm going to get you out of the car. Don't understand why you guys don't have better things.
You would.
All right, now we're out.
Step out, sir.
I think he might have seen it coming, but I didn't think he thought it would be as potentially
robust.
Harmful.
Just jab.
Like maybe he'd get placed. No, she hit him.
Wow.
And did she ever feel the need to go full Roberta and report?
No. No.
Snitches get stitches.
You get hit in my house, it stays in my house. We don't need to. We don't need to bring it home to you. You got in trouble here. No problem. No need to get you in trouble in two places.
Mm-hmm. And none of the kids. Well, the one kid had to. I mean, that was right in front of mom.
Yeah.
But it's shaming. They were in high school.
But she didn't say anything. And then another time.
All these recovered memories.
It was a Saturday morning, and we were always like, be outside, play outside.
How old were you?
I was 6, 7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And my older brother was 2 years older than me, and we were doorbell ditching one of our neighbors relentlessly on a Saturday morning at like 7 a.m., poor guy. Mm-hmm. And I would run and ring the doorbell and then run and hide across the bushes. He'd open the door, nobody would be there. Well, we didn't really put two and two together that he's eventually going to wait there at the door.
Right.
And about the fourth or fifth time we did it, and it was my brother egging me on, go do it again, go do it again, go do it again. And I ran up there, and the guy opens the door. Right even before I can ring the doorbell, he sees me in the peephole. He opens the door, grabs my arm, and spanks me like 12, 15 times.
Wow. Right.
And,
nice.
And he didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my parents. I would have gotten more trouble if I went home and they found out about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was in our neighborhood. It was pretty much free reign. You can hit the other kids.
Takes a village.
Yeah. I like that. All right, let's talk to
table this for another time.
We should write this down, Max Pata. I love people disciplined. It could be physical, but there are other forms of discipline as well.
You know what? Can I just tell you really quick? A friend of mine, her mom used to do this in front of us, but never did it to us. She wore big costume jewelry. Mm-hmm. And when my friend would sass her, she'd turn the ring out around and pop her in the forehead.
That's like an over the top when Stallone would turn the hat on.
That's right. And then get that extra grip.
That meant it was time to take down the muscle man.
Yeah.
Brandon, 41, South Carolina.
Miho? How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you doing?
So I have a rich man foreman, and I wanted to talk to you guys about maybe giving some advice on writing my first film.
All right. What's your rich man foreman?
You have a pool in the house.
Hmm.
So either you're a rich man with a giant house where you can actually have a pool in the house, or you live in a different country, like a friend of mine, who every time it rains, their house floods.
Mm. A body of water in the
house. Oh, de facto.
It's okay. Yeah, it's all right.
Ad hoc pool.
It's all right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Is this the premise of the movie?
Say it again, Brian.
Is this the premise of your film?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Wait, do you want advice on...
I'm an electrician by trade for the last 20 years, but I got into a weird hobby last year with all this COVID nonsense and got into Nerf blasters and met a friend who's a director and writer himself, actually has a big movie in the works right now, that is helping me kind of move this forward. And I'm basically making a kid's film about a Nerf hobby, you know, a bunch of kids going out and shooting foam darts and stuff at each other.
Is it written or is it documentary style?
It's not documentary style. It's a actual written film.
Yeah, okay. Shouldn't have taken that long. All right, good. I mean, write it first, right?
Oh, yeah. The outline's done. The script's about 30% done.
Mm. Mm. Ooh, Ryan just said rich man, poor man, writing a movie.
Oh, wow.
That's very true.
That's good, Ryan.
Yeah, we know which one you are. So,
mediocre man.
Yeah, you write it, and then you kind of see if people are interested in it. And for you, if you're doing it about Nerf, maybe you can get it underwritten by the Nerf toy company or something. There's ways to do it.
Dart Zone, yeah, there's a lot of those companies out there.
We're going to be seeing a lot more really shitty movies because Apple keeps running this commercial, or maybe it's Android. I can't remember. They keep showing about making a theatrical film with your phone. And now everyone's been weaponized to make a movie.
Yeah.
Right. So now everyone's going to make a movie, and there's going to be more clutter out there. But
I'm writing a script and selling it, so I'm not planning on making the actual movie.
All right. Well, do you know anyone you can get it to? Do you know an agent or anything?
My friend, who's been doing it since he was there in L.A. since he was 18, and he moved back here about 6 years ago. And he's made a bunch of films. He's making a big one that's basically a prequel to Tombstone.
Oh boy!
Really? Right.
With Kalen Bean? Get Kalen in there.
Well, all right. So
I'm the executive producer. So amazingly,
so write it.
Yeah.
And don't annoy any of your customers with this kind of talk, because people just got, you know, they got a pendant lamp they want to hang in the kitchen, and you're talking about plot structure, and they're losing confidence by the second, right?
The B story kind of drops out.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't get what advice you want. You got to write the film.
Uh-huh.
And then give it to some people to read and see what they think.
He says 30% done. That 30% is often the easiest. You have that idea. You have that momentum. You're all fired up. Mm. It's that last little bit or even the middle bit that might get you frustrated, Brandon. So have a plan. Work your way through it. You know, work on different parts if you get stuck. Keep the momentum going is my advice.
That's exactly it. That's the problem I'm having is the momentum. Because I have, you know, I have the whole formula written out, you know, the six main parts of the film. I have the, you know, 40 pages worth of an outline of what each part of the script needs to be, but I get stuck. And that's the part I have the hardest time with. And Adam, I love your films. And you wrote them, right?
Yeah, I wrote them with Kevin Hench.
Okay.
I also have some experience because I wrote Connect 4, the movie. So it's not, you know.
Right. All right. Thanks for that one.
Do you remember when I did that horror film Operation?
It's pre-production, right. So, what you have to do is you have to carve out time, you have to get with somebody, and you have to kind of push through the block or whatever it is, and you kind of treat it like a job. In that, treat it like a personal trainer. You go, I work out, but sometimes I'm kind of lazy. Well, then have appointments to meet with the personal trainer. You have no choice. You're not feeling it today. It's too early. What are your back sore? Whatever. It's just,
put a couple hours.
That's on the calendar.
Kind of like your interview with, I just forgot his name yesterday.
Mike.
I just listened to it today. That was a wonderful interview, by the way. So kind of like that. You just got, you know, the cold water thing. You just got to push. You know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I got to walk 24 miles. I got to get up.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. The problem with the creative process and or writing is it's way too romanticized.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, they go, first off, they invented something called writer's block. There's no such thing as roofer's block. There's just writer's block, you know. No roofer has roofing. Like, I can't shingle today. It's just not coming to me. I'm in a bad way. My girlfriend broke up with me and I can't put shingles on. Like, no, you can. Just move ahead. It's your job. So we do a lot of, so-and-so went to Paris to sit in cafes for a year and write this book. No one went to Van Nuys and sat in an apartment and wrote a whatever. We grafted on this sort of romantic notion of writing and what writing is. Writing,
it's pretty mechanical.
It's really mechanical, and it's just a job. And if you've written books or you've written for the Oscars, you've written screenplays, it all is the same thing. Sit down and do it. By the way, whenever we talk to a journeyman, whoever, they just go, I sit down and I write for 5 hours a day, and I treat it like a job.
Yep.
And that's what you have to do. So you're not going to be inspired on a daily basis, but neither are roofers or truckers or people that work at Trader Joe's. Yes.
If I can offer this piece of advice to Brandon, anyone listening who's writing or working on a creative project, if the powering through part, that can get frustrating because you're like, I just can't get past this or whatever. Work on a different part of the project. Work on just do a little backstory of a character, and it might spring something up. Work on a different part of the story, different part of the plot, whatever.
Yes. Walk away and go to the next part. All right. We got the news coming. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe Wireless Outdoor Security Camera. Big news. Simply Safe just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. The system, U.S. News and World Report, named the best home security of 2021. Well, it just got better. Even better, engineered with the advanced tech and security features to help you keep your family safe. Got the ultra-wide field of view. Also, it's got the 1080p HD resolution, 8x zoom, so you can get all the details. Built-in spotlight, color night vision, a two-way audio, so you can scare off the would-be thieves. Simple to set up, takes just minutes, easy to remove, rechargeable battery, so you don't have to hardwire it, which can be expensive. You'd have to talk to Brandon, the electrician, for that, but you don't need to. You just pop the battery off and charge it. Doesn't need an outlet. You learn more when you visit simplysafe.com/Adam. You get 20% off your entire order with your first month of monitoring service, and you get that free too as well when you enroll in their interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, quick break, back with the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this is not something I say every day, but some Paris Hilton news. She was, as we've talked about before, sent to Utah to this boarding school when she was young, and she's been sort of kind of not right ever since, had these nightmares and blames a lot of her, you know, her trauma on that period of time. Well, she's appeared at a press conference on the steps of Congress to say that boarding schools like the one she was at are a troubled teen industry rife with abuse. She said everyday children are being physically, emotionally, verbally, psychologically, and sexually abused there. On Wednesday, she urged lawmakers to pass a bill of rights for teenagers, basic stuff like, you know, being offered clean water, nutritious meals, able to call home. Here's a clip of Paris speaking about the experience that she had at Provo.
My parents were promised that tough love would fix me and that sending me across the country was the only way. I was sent to four facilities of Omaris, a two-year period, and my experience at each one haunts me to this day. I was strangled, slapped across the face, watched in the shower by male staff, called vulgar names, forced to take medication without a diagnosis, not given a proper education, thrown into solitary confinement in a room covered in scratch marks and smeared in blood, and so much more. At Provo Canyon School in Utah, I was given clothes with a number on the tag. I was no longer me. I was only number 127.
Well, we've come to a place in our society where the inner city schools are broken and there's shootings and gangbangers doing battle in the quad. Mm-hmm. And then the elite boarding schools are also equally dangerous and abusive.
Yeah.
Then we got the high and the low, man.
Well, and you know, she's serious because her voice dropped four octaves.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And she didn't have her dog with her.
That's right. No pink.
She was not spangled up.
Yeah. No Lamborghini
or bedazzled
or whatever.
At all. All right.
Yeah. So we'll see. A very interesting, I'm so glad that this is getting some media attention, this sort of offshoot story of the search for Gabby Petito. So after people have been looking for her and, you know, finally found her, that's resulted in finding nine other bodies of missing
people. I was about
people.
To say that this is kind of a bad, this is a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of when El Chapo popped out of the sewer.
Right.
Commandeered a car in Mexico and it overheated in 100 yards. So he jumped out of that car and jumped into another car. And that car broke down
right
after a quarter mile. It's like, not a good sign for
it's
your
an
community.
Indictment. Yeah.
It's a bad sign for a nation when you go looking for somebody mm-hmm. and you keep tripping over other bodies.
Right. Yes.
That's a bad sign.
So if we just put a little bit more effort to it, God knows who else we'll find. So, but one of the bodies.
But the good sign, the best sign is when I was shooting a movie and we had our lighting director, our director of photography was from Sweden. And I kept asking. I always asked. I learned this many years ago with my English girlfriend. I was like, we have John Doe. Who do you mm-hmm. have for your decapitated bodies right. floating in the river? And she went, Joe Bloggs. I said, oh, okay. That sounds cool. So you go, because every community, every nation has to have, they're not using John Doe. Right. That's ours.
Who's like your unidentified?
Yeah, they have to have a name that's a common name right. in their culture.
Right.
And when I said it to the director of photography, he was from Sweden. I was like, what do you guys have for the decapitated bodies that are found in the river? He's like, we don't have one of those. We don't have that name.
Not enough to make a name out of.
Yeah, it just doesn't come up enough. And I was like, oh, wow. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a very good sign. Mm-hmm. Well, there is this one body that they found that is eerily similar to what happened with Gabby. So this 22-year-old girl, Emily Ferlazzo.
Oh, they've identified her already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was reported missing by her parents Monday. Her 41-year-old husband, Joseph Ferlazzo, returned to her parents' house in New Hampshire to tell them he had not seen her in a while, a few days. The couple had driven to Vermont to celebrate their first wedding anniversary. The day after Emily was reported missing, Joseph allegedly confessed to shooting her and in the end dismembering her body in their camper. So
she's got that 1 year itch.
Jesus Christ. So they're setting up a foundation for Gabby Petito. It's going to address the needs of organizations that support locating missing persons and providing aid to domestic violence situations. But finding a lot of people that would not have been found otherwise.
But, you know, on a happy note, we always talk about urban sprawl and congestion. There's like too many people. The population appears there's plenty of space in this man's country to stash a body. A
lot of holes in the desert.
There's a lot of untouched land.
Mm-hmm. Pristine.
Protected.
Yeah, you can't do that in downtown Chicago or Pacoima or something. But evidently there's space. We still have space.
Only 3% of the country is urbanized.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Hey, speaking of downtown Chicago, I don't have this in the news, but do you know what's going on between Lightfoot and the police captain?
Yes.
Oh, they hate each other.
Yeah, they're a war of words.
There might not be a police force in the next week or so.
Dump your bodies there.
Seriously, because between being like so crime ridden, he's basically, it's like either get vaccinated to the police or don't get vaccinated. Let us know you're unvaccinated and test twice a week to make sure you don't have COVID. And he said, fuck that. Nobody do it. Nobody go online to do this. We're going to walk out. And so, I don't know. Chicago's really going to be a Thunderdome real soon.
Yeah, neither one of them are blinking or stepping back. Or
she called him a clown.
Talking to an arbitrator. He's called her worse. Like, it is on. Yeah, we have I can't remember. I think maybe Delta's pushing back. I've heard there's a couple airlines that are pushing back.
Delta variant.
No, Delta variant is pushing back. Delta Airlines, I think, is pushing back. There's a couple of companies, a couple of municipalities. Well, our sheriff in Los Angeles said he's not doing it.
Yeah.
Villanueva? Villanueva, I think. Yeah, said he's not doing any of it.
All right. Donald Trump announced Wednesday he's gathered investment funds to launch his own media company.
To be fair to Villanueva or whoever we're talking about here in Los Angeles, the sheriff's guy, it's not like, fuck you, I'm not doing this, I'm an anti-vaxxer. He's like, we're low. Mm-hmm. Everywhere's low.
Oh, like, we're doing great.
Seattle lost, I don't know, 300 or 500 cops. Other Portland. Who the fuck wants to be a cop anymore, right?
So really sure.
Over the last 18 months, everyone's like, recruiting is way off and retirements are way up.
Probably draw 110% pension at this point.
So they're all stretched out, right? And Villanueva is like, if I make this a mandate, I think between 5% and 15% are just going to take an early retirement. Mm. We're already low. Then we're going to go lower if that 10% we can't take it. So that's his justification. That makes sense.
I thought when you said low, I thought you meant COVID numbers. We're doing very well.
California's doing very well.
So, Trump's starting this new company. It includes a new social network that he wants to use to bring back his own online presence, since he's really not, he's persona non grata on Twitter and Instagram and such. When completed, he hopes his new company will be backed by nearly $300 million in funding. It's a company called Trump Media and Technology, and it'll
launch.
Put
his name in it?
Of course. This is not the Trump you know.
Donald Trump.
Now that he's been president, you got to capitalize on that notoriety.
Now that he's been president.
My name will sell something.
Now his name is not in the name of the social network, but would you like to know what that's going to be called?
Oh, yeah.
Truth Social. Because what else would it be called? They want to fight back against big tech in Silicon Valley. Meanwhile,
we're investors.
Newsweek reports that the social media platform was reportedly hacked within hours of this announcement.
Well,
oh, it's live?
I think you had to get an invitation.
Oh, okay.
It's going to, yeah, people are going to start their, I mean, you've already, you basically see it in the media already. People just go start their own thing. Oh, I mean, in a weird way, it's podcasting.
Well,
you know?
That was the response I was seeing on like Twitter from random people was like, isn't this what Parler is for,
right,
and et cetera. I don't even know the sites or the services, but there are many of these, obviously, I started by
they don't have his name
the most
on
famous
it.
Person in the world, right, perhaps.
Yeah, and it takes a while, and then at some point they do a round of funding and they get a ton of dough,
right,
and then once they get a ton of dough, then that, theoretically they're off and running.
What's his name? Dilbert.
Scott Adams.
Scott
yeah,
Adams.
This has got to be, I'm sure he has thoughts about how what a slam dunk it is to call something truth social, right? Like those buzzwords.
Yeah, although, I don't know, it never works on me because I see a lot of products at the Whole Foods mm-hmm. that start with truth, like Smart Water
yeah.
or something
Charlie
like that.
Charlie's Food is the honest kitchen.
Yeah. I've told you, I talked to the guy from Edmunds. All they do is test cars. That's all they do. They buy cars and they test cars. That's all they do. And I've said to him, in this day and age of every car works, everything's got a warranty, everything is safe, well, was there even a bad car
yeah.
these days? And he went, just one, just the smart car. That's the only bad
Other
car.
Other than that, they'll work.
Yeah,
they're all good.
Just
they're all
the
same.
One that's smart.
There's a David Cross bit where he talks about at Whole Foods, there's a brand called If You Care.
Right.
He's like, I didn't know a brand could be so passive-aggressively Jewish. If You Care. We have a frequent guest of this show, or at least a friend of the show, that made their debut on The Masked Singer.
Mm.
Turned out to be somebody that Ooh. We know.
Can
first,
we try and guess?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm saying, can you show
Yes,
me?
I'm going to show you.
Nice.
First, we had Dr. Drew, of course. He was that rock and roll eagle. And we have another regular guest. He was dressed as a hamster. And he's sung Pretty Woman, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, even a song in Spanish called Sabor a Mi. Here's a clip of Pretty Woman if you want to take a guess. Listen for a little
All
bit.
All right. J. Benza. I have no
okay,
idea.
Okay, so AJ's Adam's guess.
That's Brad Williams sitting on Adam Ray's shoulders.
I love both of these guesses.
I was talking to Dumbo Dr. Drew about this, and I was telling him, I was telling you, like, back in the day, I told you the songstress would come on, Ethel Merman or
right.
whatever. Miller, oh God, I can't think of it. Ann Miller would do, mm-hmm. and they just kind of stand there, and everyone would dance
right.
around them, and he goes, yeah, but that's what they do in The Masked Singer. I was like, you're wearing a chandelier on your head in a fucking gerbil suit. Of course you're not with the Rockettes,
you're
idiot.
Mascot.
You're not in the kick line.
But that's what they do. But, right, because you're dehydrated, you're overheating, you can barely see out of your mouth.
You're the Philly fanatic.
Yes, and everyone is doing pirouettes around you. Of course you're not going to join them.
I'm just saying that's what they
okay,
do.
Okay, that's what they do. All right.
Dawson, you have a guess?
Is it Rob Riggle?
No. So you were on to something and then you jumped off. Here's a clip of the reveal.
Oh, can I get
No.
No? Okay.
Rob Schneider.
I was wrong about
that. Oh, with the Spanish voice. Yeah, but he wasn't dancing with everyone else.
That's right.
He did an Elvis song? Wow.
He did a very Elvis impression in all of the songs. People
sure.
like that a lot,
all
and he sang
right.
a whole song in Spanish for
he
his wife.
He was Tiny Elvis.
Yeah.
That was Nick Cage, but I think he was one of his entourage. You're the man, Tiny.
Oh, right.
Tiny Elvis.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, that was fun. Conor McGregor really going on a hitting streak for no reason. This happened a few days ago, but we haven't gotten to it. TMZ reports that he punched this famous Italian DJ, Francesco Facinetti, totally unprovoked after inviting him to a party. And we have the picture. The DJ says he and his wife were hanging out with Conor. Everything was great at his home in Rome. And at 2:30 in the morning, Conor just threw this punch, lands him right in the face. Facinetti, who posted the video of the aftermath, says we're all having fun. Conor invited him to go to another party. but they didn't leave because that's when he says he threw this punch in front of 10 witnesses. Facinetti was quick to say he's suing Connor because he is a violent and dangerous person. So we have the throwing the dolly through the bus. We have him randomly, like, dumping popcorn on Machine Gun Kelly. Like, just random,
he
random
whacked
guy.
An older guy at
yes,
the pub.
Yes, the bar
not,
that he bought.
For not drinking
yes.
his liquor.
Booze. Yes.
Right.
And didn't he buy the bar and ban that guy from coming in?
Still not as bad as Roberta Messick.
Mm-hmm.
Roberta.
Reaching back
oh,
to,
right. Yeah, I didn't know she had a last name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She got
mm-hmm.
you good.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
he's
know
on
what it's like.
Real killing
should have lawyered up.
And I think...
Think what you could have now.
Oh, my God. To be living large.
I don't think anyone like MMA, like, I don't think anyone's weighing in on this.
Nah, like, I heard about it on TMZ, but I haven't heard anyone rush to his defense.
No.
I think he gets really drunk.
yes.
Connor does. And when some guys, there's kind of a muscle memory thing. So all when you train... In boxing, it's all you do is the same motion over
right.
and over
right.
and over. It's like literally just hit the bag, hit the speed bag, hit the punch mitt, spar, shadow box. Like it's just that motion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you do for 7 hours a day. And then sometimes when people get really drunk, they revert into their sort of physical motion that they do all the time.
Sure.
Like, I guess if you sung for a living and got really wasted, you'd probably start singing at a party.
Sure.
Or, you know, the chicks that are kind of shaking their ass mm-hmm. when they get drunk,
Whoa.
The ass really starts to shake.
Coochie, yeah.
Yeah. I think he probably has a little, probably should be in the concussion protocol. You know what I mean? Probably has a little of that PTSD.
No, CTE.
CTE. Probably has a little.
You're talking about Ralph Schneider?
Yeah. Connor probably has a little CTE. Probably gets blacked out. He probably gets blacked out, wasted.
Yeah.
And then his bot, once you're in the blackout, you're in muscle memory
right.
mode. And
right.
I think that's what he does.
And he doesn't seem like someone who would avail himself to maybe a recovery program.
No, or counseling or whatever. But now he may be.
Forced
into something.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in, I don't know, the French Riviera and it's 3 a.m, you're going to another party or something. You're blasted.
Right.
Right.
Right. And he was in a great mood until he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I promised you some hot Munsters talk, so
yeah.
Let's get into it. It is getting a reboot, thanks to Rob Zombie. Zombie took to Instagram to officially confirm Jeff Daniel Phillips playing Herman Munster, Sherry Moon Zombie playing Lily Munster, and Dan Roebuck being Grandpa Munster. The reboot is being shot in Hungary, and though it doesn't have an official release date, it will be released in theaters and on Peacock streaming. We have a picture of it.
Well, it was a movie.
It's a movie.
Film, huh?
And it's being shot in Hungary at some... old creepy house, and you didn't know you need it, but here it is. The original aired on CBS from 64 to 66. Not a long run.
No.
If this is funny, I'm down to see it. I don't want like a Rob Zombie, you know, twisted.
Horror.
Yeah, twisted take on the ones. Like Munsters were, you know, supposed to be silly, right?
Right.
Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, like the Addams Family.
How's Rob Zombie at making films, Brian?
Haven't seen a single one.
Well, oh, really?
Well, there's your answer.
I think he has a couple
genre,
that are
though.
Decently reviewed, but that's not my genre, man. I see a lot of horror films. But I think there are a couple. You guys can look on Rotten Tomatoes. I think he has a couple that are decently reviewed.
What was his younger brother's name?
Oh, yeah.
Ross Zombie.
Something 3,000, something 5,000, something.
2,000, 3,000.
Some thousand. Some iteration.
Zombie
of
2, 3,000.
No, it wasn't Zombie. It was
something ball.
Spider 1?
No.
Well,
that's his brother.
Power Man 5,000.
That's it.
Power
that's
Man 5,000.
Spider 1 is his name that he goes by, but the band is Power Man 5,000.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I knew some thousand.
Yes.
Chris, glance at Rotten Tomatoes. I think Rob Zombie has a couple of decent movies. Yeah, possibly even good ones. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Robin,
I hear his Halloween reboot was really good.
Robin and his brother, they used to come on separately on the Love Line, and they would talk Power Man 5000 and Rob Zombie, and I have no idea what does the brother like this Power Man tour? Do they play? Well, anyway,
I knew a couple of Rob Zombie songs I like, but generally, you know, again, not my genre.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. You want one more?
One more.
Well, let's give credit where credit is due to A.J. Brown of the Tennessee Titans. He had a good game Monday night against the Buffalo Bills. 7 catches for 91 yards. That number even more impressive when you consider that Brown had food poisoning, lost 8 pounds in 24 hours because of diarrhea.
Oh, no.
And when asked where it happened.
Chipotle.
That's right. He says, Chipotle, I'm sorry. Chipotle won't be getting an endorsement with them anytime soon.
Asked you his
teammate Derrick Henry said that during the game, they just want to make sure that he had enough toilet paper. 24 hours, 8 pounds. Maybe I should go on the Chipotle diet.
Well, I was watching the interview after the game. It was a great game. And if you had to, if you were like the CFO for Chipotle and you're holding a pencil, like you would have broken it because it was one of those things where the interviewer was like, oh, and I heard you had food poisoning, but yet you made the game and you played lights out. It's like, yeah, I did. And at some point, They could have gone either way. And he was like, thanks, Chipotle. And it was like, if you're a Chipotle
don't
fan.
Don't say it.
Stuck
us in the toilet.
But he said it. Yeah.
All right. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
No, you get hit in my house, it stays in my house. Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Power Man 5000 still tours Rob's younger brother. Jay Cutler is going to join us in a second. First, I'll tell you about stamps.com. Sell online. Yeah, then you, if you do, then you know about the shipping. It can be a pain. Which carrier am I going to get the best rate on? Will it get there on time? Stamps.com. Take the hassle and guesswork out of shipping and e-commerce orders. Easily compare shipping rates and delivery dates. Stamps.com. Negotiated discounted rates from U.S. Postal Service, UPS, DHL, and more. Up to 40% off U.S. Postal Service and up to 66% off UPS rates. I've used it here for the entire time we've been in business. I mean, it's been well over 11 years. We ship merch, we ship books, we ship paperwork. We all do it with stamps.com. And stamps.com automatically connects you to your online or connects to your online store. All you have to do is hit print. The labels come flying out, put it on the package. Bob's your uncle. And no traffic, no lines. It's Stamps.com, right, Dawson?
Start shipping and saving with Stamps.com today. There's no risk. And with promo code Adam, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital shipping scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. You'll be up and running in minutes. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Adam. It's Stamps.com, promo code Adam, Stamps.com. Easy e-commerce shipping for less, a lot less.
All right, quick break. Back with Jay Cutler right after this.